I heard a story not too long ago about this 21-year-old named Johnny. And Johnny went to the church's revival on a Sunday night, and he listened to the preacher preach for like an hour. So count yourselves lucky, okay? And at the end of the message, the preacher said, "If anyone needs any prayer, come on up and stand in line, and we'll pray for whatever you need, healing or whatever else." And so Johnny got in line, and he waited and waited, and finally it was his turn. And the preacher looked at him, and he said, "Son, what can I pray for you about?" And Johnny said, I need you to pray for my hearing." And before he could say anything else, the preacher popped both of his fingers in his ears, and he shook his head back and forth. And then at the end, he popped his fingers out, and he hit him on the head, and he said, "Johnny, how's your hearing?" Johnny said, "Well, I don't know. I don't go to court till next week." Divine healing, or the miraculous, is a bit of a taboo thing in our culture in the United States. It's something that a lot of people are skeptical of in many ways. And I would attribute that to televangelists. And here's why. And I'm not saying they're all bad, but the ones that I've seen, they get on there and they exploit people's faithfulness in order to sell them this miracle spring water in exchange for an exorbitant amount of money. One of my favorite pastimes in college was to sit up at night and study and do homework or write papers, and I'd watch these televangelists, and every once in a while I'd call in to harass them. And so this is how I spent most of my college career. And I remember one time I called in, and this guy was promising that if you gave a certain amount of money, that not only would God heal you, but he would restore to you three times what you gave. So I called in, and I said, "Hey, I sent in $50 last week, and I still don't feel any better, and rent's coming due. I was just wondering where that check is for $150. And I got two answers from the guy. He started off with saying, "You're not praying hard enough." I said, no, I'm praying very hard. It's going okay." Then he said, "Well, maybe God wants you to give more." And I said, "Yeah, I bet that's it." And I hung up the phone. But you see, and what I realized about this is that these guys on TV had their priorities out of line. Their priorities were not Christ's priorities. And if you look throughout Christendom, if you look at Christian pastors or Christian churches that have their priorities out of line, it inevitably leads to people's ruptured view of who Jesus is and what the church is for. And when you have a ruptured view of who Jesus is, you will just start turning in on yourself. And you will start looking at all the things that you have in life, and those things will become your priorities. Because can you really trust Jesus? I mean, these guys on TV are selling a product. Can you really trust a religion that does that? And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, is what are our priorities? If you open up your bulletins and you go to our gospel reading, I want to point out a couple things about Mark 1. The second half of Mark 1 is all devoted to stories of healing. It's all devoted to stories of healing. And the very first story we get in our gospel reading for today, if you look at verse 29, is the healing of Simon's mother-in-law. So Jesus goes into this house, the house of Simon, and his mother-in-law's there. And this was not uncommon in that day for large families to live together and even extended families. And so he comes into the house, and Simon tells him that his mother-in-law is sick with a great fever. Now, the Gospels have two kinds of fevers, a minor fever and a great fever. Now, a minor fever is not that big of a deal, but a great fever will inevitably lead to death. And so Jesus goes back into this woman's room, and she's lying there on the verge of death, and he grabs her by the hand, he stands her up, and her fever's gone. It's a miracle. Now, in these short three verses, it may seem like there's not a whole lot here, but there is great weight in the interaction between Jesus and this unnamed mother-in-law. The first thing to notice is that Jesus has no problem reaching out to people. Jesus has no problem reaching out to those who we would call untouchable. Whether it's fever or leprosy, Jesus reaches out to people who are on the margins. You might even say that he prioritizes those people. He prioritizes them. See, it goes against the cultural norm for Jesus to do this, because it's, according to Jewish custom, if you were to touch someone who's sick or ill, you become unclean, and then you have to separate yourselves from the rest of the community. But Jesus doesn't have to worry about that because Jesus' very touch brings healing. Jesus' touch brings a cleansing power to people. The other thing to notice is that as soon as this woman is healed, she begins to serve him. No other healing story in the gospel ends like that. In fact, it often ends quite the opposite. If you remember the story of Jesus healing the lepers, only one came back to say thank you. The rest of them went back to their everyday life and rejoicing. But nowhere else in the gospel does it say that somebody was healed and then began to serve him. But this woman does. This woman does. See, Jesus shows her that one of his priorities is healing people because he loves people. And she responds after receiving this life-giving touch with making Jesus her priority. Makes him her priority. If you go through the rest of Mark 1 in our scripture reading, you'll see that Jesus' priorities become very clear. Jesus wants to reach people because he loves people. He deals with them on an individual level. He doesn't do these mass healings of large groups other than the lepers that once, but he deals with people individually. He touches them individually. He loves them and speaks with them on an individual level. Jesus also shows us that prayer is important to him. I think it's in verse 35, if you look in your bulletins, where it says they were looking for Jesus and he was off praying. Because he valued that time in prayer. And finally, one of the other priorities that you see Jesus has from this gospel lesson is he wanted to go to as many people as possible. He wanted to impact as many people as he could and turn them to know the life-giving truth that's going to be found in his death and resurrection. You read through all of Mark, any gospel, Jesus' priorities will be 100% clear to you. I wish it was the same for us. What are your priorities? What are your priorities right now? See, even though we're Christians, even though we read through Scripture, even though we see blessings in our everyday life, oftentimes our priorities are wrapped up in the tangible things of this world. And as we go down that path, we get distracted. We get distracted and we start to become skeptical of God. We start to become skeptical of the miraculous. And that's exactly what Satan wants. If you look in verse 34, it says that the demons knew him. And the demons were there to distract people for Jesus. Here's another interesting point for you, is that there are two people in the Gospels who know who Jesus is. The first is the demons, and the second is a soldier who crucified Jesus. 12 guys followed him around for 3 years, and not one of them could express fully who Jesus was, but the demons and the soldier. And so these demons, they work for Satan. You'd think they're Satan's henchmen. And Satan has this one goal, to distract people from the salvation that lies in Jesus Christ and to send them in a different direction. And that is what we see happening so many times with demonic possession in Scripture. Now, this is not something that we see in the United States very often, though there are like 5 people that I can think of in my life who I think are possessed. But it happens a lot more in other countries like Kenya or Malagasy or places like that. And I think there's one reason why. If Satan's goal, if demonic possession, if that goal is to distract people from Jesus, then we really don't need that in the United States. We have enough stuff to distract us from Jesus. We have enough stuff that keeps us from gathering with God's people. We have enough stuff that keeps us from being prayerful. We have enough stuff that keeps us from being in daily devotions. We have enough stuff that keeps us from doing acts of charity that serve people other than ourselves. We don't need demons to distract us from Jesus when we have money and we want more of it. We don't need demons to distract us from Jesus when we have sports around, whether you're playing them or watching them. How many people I know that skip church to watch football games? We don't need demons to distract us from Jesus when we have all these things going on in our life and we have family and kids and we're busy throughout the whole week and the only day that we have free is Sunday and so, we better let us sleep in because that's what's more important than raising our children in the faith. We don't need demons. We have enough that distracts us. We have enough that distracts us. And suddenly our priorities, we realize, are wrapped up in everything that we have in this life, and very little of our life is spent on a spiritual level. Very little. I'm taking financial peace right now. We're trying to prepare for Amy having a baby in August, which is the most terrifying thing in the world. But as we're going through Dave Ramsey right now, he said something last week on this video. He said, you spend your time, money, and energy on the things that are most important to you. If you were to look at where you spend your time, where you spend your money, and where you spend your energy, those are your top priorities. So if you were to take out your credit card or bank statement right now, and you take out rent and mortgage, okay, and you look at how you spend your money, what's your top priority? If you were to open up your calendar right now, what drives your week? I'm not asking you to be at church every day of the week, and I hope I'm not making you feel bad because you're not pastors and you're not Jesus, right? So I'm here every day because that's my role. But if only 1 hour of your week out of the 168 hours that God has given you is devoted to growing in your relationship with Jesus, then your priorities are messed up. 1 hour out of 168 hours is 0.05% of your week. Where are your priorities? See, as your priorities get more and more out of line, you will inevitably end up viewing Jesus and the church as more of an insurance policy than as a savior. Here's what I mean by that. How many of you have car insurance in here? I hope most of you do if you're driving, right? How many of you think insurance is a waste of money? I think it's a big waste of money. Until I got into a car accident 2 years ago. I had a semi roll over the top of my truck. And I made that claim, and they sent me a check, and I said, thank you, God, that I kept paying for my insurance. Is that your relationship with Jesus? Are you keeping him around for a just-in-case situation? Are you going to church because you want to be on the right side of things if this God thing is real? Is that how you view your faith? As an insurance policy? See, that's not what God wants. And to be 100% honest with you, that is not being a Christian. That's not following Jesus. In no way will your life be transformed if you focus on Jesus as an insurance policy. But if you make Jesus a priority in your life, if you focus on growing in your faith, things will change. If you started to devote your time, not just to church, okay? We meet twice a week, unless you wanted to go to all four services that we have, and I'd give you a letter of commendation or something. But if you were at home or on your drive and you're growing spiritually in some way, if you're taking time out for prayer, if you're in a small group or something like that and you're growing with Jesus, I will tell you that one thing will become overwhelmingly evident to you is that Jesus loves you. When you start to read through Scripture, when you start to pray and know that God listens, one thing will become evident, that Christ loves you. And you'll see that in the way that Jesus talks. You'll see that in the acts that Jesus does. You'll see it when you wake up in the morning and there's something there for you to eat. That's a blessing from God. That's a blessing from God. And at the end of it all, you will start to look and you'll say, I know that God is with me. And I see it in one place most. It's when love hangs on a cross for me. When you start to change your priorities, you will start to view life a lot differently. You will start to look at God differently because you will start to realize that our God is a God of miracles. Our God is one who can change water to wine, who makes the lame walk, who makes the blind see. Our God is one who hung on a cross and rose again for the salvation of mankind. But probably the greatest miracle that we know today is that our God is one who takes people like you and I, sinners, people who have distorted priorities, people who have messed up lives, people who let our mouths spew whatever, and he calls calls us his children because we're baptized. That's one of the best miracles we see. And we saw it today. That Jesus takes broken people and makes them his own. Jesus doesn't want to be your insurance policy. He doesn't want to be your just in case. He wants you to cling to him in the ups, the downs, and the all arounds. What's your priority? Jesus loves you. So do I. Amen.